If you would open your Bibles with me to Psalm 20, the 20th Psalm. Much thanks to Wayne and Eric who got our water flowing again. Wayne said they're not sure if they figured out what happened, but as long as it don't happen again, we'll be happy. So I appreciate that, him taking care of that. Psalm 20. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee, send thee help from the sanctuary, and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings, and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Grant thee according to thine own heart, and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now I know that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call. All right, Sean.
Okay, if you would turn to song number 463, All That Thrills My Soul.
Who can cheer the heart like Jesus by his presence all divine? True and tender, pure and precious, oh, how blessed to call him mine. All that thrills my soul is Jesus, he is more than life to me. And the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. Love of Christ so freely given, grace of God beyond degree, mercy higher than the heaven, deeper than the deepest sea. All that thrills my soul is Jesus, he is more than life to me. And the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. What a wonderful redemption, never can a mortal know. How my sin, though red like crimson, can be whiter than the snow. All that thrills my soul is Jesus, he is more than life to me. And the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. Every need his hand supplying, every good in him I see. On his strength divine relying, he is all in all to me. All that thrills my soul is Jesus, he is more than life to me. And the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. By the crystal flowing river, with the ransomed I will sing. And forever, praise and glorify the King. Oh, soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. And the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see.
Okay, if you would now turn to song number 275, I Belong to the King.
I belong to the King, I'm a child of His love. I shall dwell in His palace so fair. For He tells of its bliss in yon heaven above, and His children its splendor shall share. I belong to the King, I'm a child of His love, and He never forsaketh His own. He will call me someday to His palace above. I shall dwell by His glorified throne. I belong to the King, and He loves me, I know, for His mercy and kindness so free are unceasingly mine wheresoever I go, and my refuge unfailing is He. I belong to the King, I'm a child of His love, and He never forsaketh His own. He will call me someday to His palace above. I shall dwell by His glorified throne. I belong to the King, and His promise is sure, that we all shall be gathered at last. In His kingdom above, by life's waters so pure, when this life with its trials is past. I belong to the King, I'm a child of His love, and He never forsaketh His own. He will call me someday to His palace above. I shall dwell by His glorified throne.
If you would, open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis, the 5th chapter. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made He him. Male and female created He them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. And Enos lived after he begat Canaan 815 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. And Canaan lived after he begot Mahalalel 840 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years, and begat Jared. And Mahalalel lived after he begat Jared 830 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years, and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years, and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years, and begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. We'll end our reading there. Let's bow together. Our Father, which art in heaven, holy and reverend is your matchless name. And Father, we bow before you humbly. We bow before you with hearts that are humbled at your mercy and your grace to sinful people such as we are. And Lord, we bow before you with hearts that are full of thanksgiving and anticipation that you might bless us from your word tonight, that you might enable us to hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and believe on him, feed on him, rest in him, be strengthened and encouraged by the message that we hear tonight. And Father, I beg of you that you would do that. I beg of you that you would, in this hour, not leave me alone, but enable me to rightly divide the word of truth, and in the power of thy Spirit, preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, give us hearing ears. Enable us to hear and believe, and enable us to leave here tonight rejoicing in Christ our Savior. Father, how we thank you for your blessings to this congregation over so, so many years. And Father, we ask if you'd bless us one more time with your presence, one more time with your gospel, one more time with faith to hear and to believe. And Father, despite all the blessings that you've so freely bestowed upon us, we freely admit we're still a poor and a needy people. We need you every hour of every day. Father, we pray for those that you've particularly brought into the time of trouble and trial, that you might heal and touch their bodies. There's so many who are sick and hurting and in deep waters. Father, be with your people, we pray. Deliver and provide a way out. We call upon thee because you're our only hope. Father, we pray you bless your people. And Father, we ask again that you bless us with a spirit of worship, and show us your glory tonight, we pray. For it's in the precious name of Christ our Savior, we pray and ask these blessings. Amen. All right, I've titled the message this evening, Walking with God. Now, I am not going to preach verse by verse through this genealogy. I'm confident that the names here, I looked them all up, the names here all have meanings that in some way reveal Christ our Savior and salvation in him. But as I read this chapter and looked over it, that's not really what I saw. I didn't see Christ in all that. But four things did stand out to me so clearly from this chapter, and I want to give them to you tonight. The first thing is this. Salvation is had through union with Christ. Look again at verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. Now it says here God created them. But you go back and read the story of creation. God only created one man. He created Adam. God made Eve. He made Eve from Adam's rib. But God only created one man. Now I pointed this out because it said the same thing in Genesis 1 as we're going through that chapter. But the way this is said, in the day God created them, he called their name Adam, shows us the truth of representation. Now, God only created Adam, but it says here he created them. And I'll tell you why he said that. Because when God created Adam, he created Eve. He created the whole human race. He created you and me. He created them because the whole human race was all in Adam. And he called Eve and all the rest of us, he called us by the name Adam. Because Adam was our representative. This representation, us being in Adam, is so real, God calls us all by one name, by the name of Adam. We're all in Adam. When God looks at the human race, he sees those people created in Adam. That's why he says he created them. Because he created Adam, he created Eve, he created everybody else too. We're all in Adam. And since Adam is our representative, you know, that has big ramifications. That means we all did what Adam did. That's all of us became sinners. We became guilty because we sinned in Adam. We sinned in Adam. You know, God didn't just charge Adam's sin to us, you know, even though we weren't there and we didn't do it. God's holy. God's just. He wouldn't do something that's unjust. No, we were there. We were there. We were in Adam. We sinned in Adam. We did what Adam, our representative, did. And I know the human logic and human flesh thinks, well, that's not fair. But, you know, representation is a glorious, glorious truth of the gospel that shows God's wisdom in salvation. All of Adam's race was made sinners by a representative man, by the actions, disobedience of a representative man. But here's God's wisdom. Since all men were made sinners by one representative man, God's elect can be made righteous by the obedience, by the actions of another representative man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, because of this truth of representation, God's elect are righteous. I mean, they are righteous. Not like, well, they're not really righteous. They're really unrighteous, but, you know, they'll be righteous someday, you know, in glory. No, that's too confusing. That's too confusing. This is the simplicity of the gospel. God's elect are actually righteous. End of story. They're actually righteous. The same way you and I are actually sinners because of what Adam did. God's elect are actually righteous because of what Christ did. God's elect are actually righteous because we did everything Christ our representative did. The Lord Jesus Christ obeyed the law perfectly, didn't he? Does anybody doubt that? He obeyed the law perfectly, didn't he? Then so did every one of his people. We did it in him. God's elect are made righteous. And just as surely as all the descendants of Adam were made guilty in Adam, all of Christ's people, all of God's elect are made innocent. They're made righteous in Christ. And just like God called them Adam, God calls all of his people by one name. This is the name wherewith she shall be called. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. That's how real the believer's union is with Christ. If you're in Christ, the Father calls you by his name. Because that's who he sees when he sees you. He sees his Son. Now righteousness, salvation, comes through union with Christ. And here tonight, we're going to get over to Enoch a little bit, talk about walking with God. But you know the only way that you and I can walk with God? Same way Enoch walked with God. By union with Christ. See, the only way we can walk with God is if we are what God will accept. Well, the only way we can walk with God is by being in Christ. He'll accept us only in the Beloved. And we walk with God through union with Christ, by being in Christ. All right, here's the second thing that stood out to me in this chapter. Sinful men can only produce more sinful men. Verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. Now, after the fall, when God had kicked Adam out of the garden, Adam and Eve started producing children. God told them to replenish the earth, you know, and they started producing children. And Adam begat sons and daughters. It says he doesn't tell us how many. He just begat sons and daughters. I'd say many sons and daughters in 900 years. And you know what? He craved them all, just like Seth, in his own likeness, in his own image. All those children Adam produced came out just like Adam. I wonder, did they hope, you know, when the first one came out, maybe he won't be like me, and found out he was. I wonder how many children it was before they finally knew, well, this next one coming, he's going to be just like me too. That's all Adam could produce, is more people dead in sin, just like Adam, because that's the only nature he had to pass on to them. Now, earlier it says that God created Adam in his likeness, in the likeness of God. Now, that doesn't mean that Adam was created with a righteous nature, a nature that couldn't sin, because obviously he did sin. He could sin. Adam was created innocent. Innocent. He wasn't created righteous. He was created innocent. And when Adam sinned, he lost his innocence. He became guilty. He sinned against God. Now, Adam was created upright in the image of God. And the best way I think to describe that, it's not like the animals. The animals aren't created in the image of God. They don't have a soul, is the biggest thing. They don't have a sense of morality, right or wrong. Adam was created in the image of God. He's a spiritual being. He had a body. He had a physical body, just like you and I do. But we are a soul. We are a spiritual being. So in that way, Adam was created upright in the image of God. Now, Adam still had a soul, but that soul became dead. Became dead in sin. When Adam fell, he fell into sin and to death. And all of Adam's sons came out just like him. Because it's the only nature that Adam had to pass on to him. That's all he could produce is more sinners. And each one of these men produced a son, and he died. And the next son, and he died. You know why they all died? Because they're all sinners. They all got that nature from Adam. Now that's why, from our first point, I said that salvation can only come through union with Christ. If we're going to be saved, if we're going to be made righteous, we need a different representative. We need somebody to give us a different nature that comes from different seed, that comes from a different father. Adam's seed's a lost cause. And that's what God does for his people in the new birth. When the Holy Spirit moves in power, he gives life to God's elect. It's new life. He doesn't take the flesh and fix it up. The flesh is dead. That's all it can ever be, is dead flesh. He causes a new nature, a new man to be born. And this man is not born from the same seed we were born the first time. If that was the case, we'd just be dead again. This man is born from different seed, from the pure, perfect, sinless seed of the Word of God. And that sinless seed can only produce people just like it. Sinless and righteous. That's why that new man born of God is sinless. He's righteous. That the seed of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, can only produce more people just like that seed. Righteous people. Now, walking with God means there's got to be agreement. There's got to be fellowship. Amos 3, verse 3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Of course they can. You're going to walk together. You're going to have fellowship together. You're going to be together a long time. You got to be agreed. Well, God can't agree with our sinful nature. And our sinful nature can't agree with the Holy God. They can't have fellowship. The carnal mind is enmity against God. There can't be any fellowship there. Our sinful nature can't have fellowship with a holy, righteous God. See, you know what God does so we can walk with God? He causes a new nature is born in us that does agree with God. So we can have fellowship with him and walk with him. And that's the only way that we can walk with God is by being born again with a new nature that agrees with God. Everything God says about us, that we're dead in sin, that we're lost, that we're hopeless, that we're helpless, that we're defiled, that new man says, I agree. I agree. Everything that God says about himself, the new nature says, I agree. God says, I'm holy. I'm sovereign. I have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I'll choose whom I will. I'll pass by whom I will. Whatever I do is right. That new man says, I agree. You're right. God talks about redemption, and the new man agrees with him. God says redemption's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only in his obedience as your representative. It's only in his sacrifice as your substitute that he bore your sin and put your sin away. That's the only way I can have mercy on you is if somebody else puts your sin away. And that new man says, I agree. That's how they have fellowship and can walk together. God's got to give us a new nature so we can walk with him. All right, here's the third thing I saw. So evident in this chapter, I didn't count up how many times. How many times do we read in this, he lived 800 years, he lived 900 years, he lived 700 years, he lived all these years. Long time, long time. How did it end? He died. He died. Verse 1 of this chapter tells us about this whole situation. This is the book of the generations of Adam. Now, except for Enoch, all these men died. They died because of sin. They died because they were made sinners in Adam. Death, that's all Adam can produce. Oh, he can produce a flower that lives for a little while. It blooms for a little while, but it's going to die. It's going to die because sin's already in it. These men all died because of sin. But I think I have something here that might be helpful. You know, we talk about all these men. They're just names on paper to us. Just remember, all this applies to you and me too. These men all died because of sin. But you know what? Every last one of them lived the exact number of years that were appointed them by God. Every one of them did. This is every one of those years is exact. None of it says, well, he lived about 900 years. No, he lived 895 years. I mean, it's all very exact, isn't it? They all lived the exact number of years that were appointed to them by God. None of them died accidentally. They died exactly at the time appointed to them by God. And the same thing is true about you and me. Every one of us is going to live the exact number of days and years that the Father appointed to us from before he created anything. We're not going to live 1 second longer or 1 second shorter than that. Every last one of us. Now, don't let that make you a fatalist. You know, if people take that and say, oh, well, you know, whatever's going to happen. They're looking at it all wrong. They don't have a grasp of this thing. The Lord has given you a set time in this earth, a set time. Redeem the time that God's given you. And what I mean by that is God's given you a set amount of time. Now, use it wisely. Use it wisely. Don't use it selfishly. Use it wisely. I don't know how many years that the Lord is going to give me. But I do know this. By God's grace, this is a true statement. I want to live the years that the Lord has given me seeking the Lord. Following after the Lord. Serving the Lord. Walking with the Lord. And that's what all of us should do. The Lord's given us a set number of years. Let's spend that time walking with the Lord. You know, God's given us a certain number of years. You know, there's a certain number of years that we'll live. Maybe all those years won't be productive, but there's a certain number of years that we're going to have that are productive. For everybody here, you've got productive time right now. Spend that productive time serving the Lord. You know, while you're at work, while you're taking care of your families, while you're taking care of all your other earthly responsibilities, do it serving the Lord. Serving him, looking for him, following him. No, now we're just going to live the exact number of years that the Lord has given us to live. And that time, however long, however short it is, that time will be just right. It'll be just exactly right. So live that time serving the Lord. And this thing about the time for you, the time for me, it's going to be exactly right. There's an example of that in this chapter, in this genealogy. I know it's true of every name that's mentioned here, and I can't give you an example of it from each of these different names, but for two of them, I can. Two of these men, I can tell you this example. They lived the exact right amount of time set by them, by God. It's Lamech and Methuselah. Lamech and Methuselah. Noah's father and grandfather. Now, Noah, you know the story of Noah. We'll get to that in the coming weeks. He built an ark and there came a flood from God. God's wrath coming on the sin of man and the earth. But you know what? No believer died in that flood. The flood that God sent is a picture of his wrath against sin. Now, believers are all saved from God's wrath against our sin because Christ bore it for us. Christ took that for us. Noah and his family were saved from God's wrath against their sin. God's wrath still fell on their sin just like it did on everybody else's. The difference with Noah and his family was God's wrath against their sin fell on the ark. They were saved. God's got to punish your sin. He's got to punish my sin. His wrath is going to fall on our sin, either on us in eternity in hell or on Christ our Savior at Calvary, one or the other. And if we're in Christ, we're saved from God's wrath. And the Lord made sure that Methuselah and Lamech died before the flood. Lamech, Noah's father, died 5 years before the flood came. Methuselah died the year the flood came. He died earlier in that year. Later in that year, the flood came. Noah's father and grandfather saw him building the ark. Noah told them what he was doing. They saw this. They knew what was going on. They knew what was coming. I know the rest of the world didn't. These two men, they believed what Noah was saying. God's coming. God's coming in wrath. Get in the ark. They knew what was coming. But the Lord took them home before the flood ever came, to spare them from that flood. See that? All of that happened by the will and purpose of God. Your time and my time are exactly the same. It'll all begin and end, and everything that happens to it in between, by the will and purpose of God. Now here we're talking about walking with God. How can I walk with God? By the purpose of God. By God's purpose. God has to will us to walk with him. Because our dead flesh never will do it. You know, what does Christ call his people? He calls them sheep that were wandering. They weren't looking to walk with the shepherd. They were looking to find the shepherd. They were wandering lost and happy to do it. The shepherd had to go to them, go get them. By his will, by his power, by his determination. Our dead flesh cannot will or purpose to walk with God. But if God wills it, brother, we'll walk with him. That's how we walk with it. It's by his will, by his purpose, by his design, just like everything else in our lives. All right, here's the fourth thing. How do I walk with God? Verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, Enoch is the only one in this chapter who didn't die. And in the whole Bible, the Bible only records two men who did not die, Enoch and Elijah. Enoch was taken, Elijah was translated, or whatever happened in that chariot. But even Christ died before he sent it back to the Father, didn't he? Enoch and Elijah, they're the only two that did not die. Now, there's got to be something important for us to learn from Enoch. This thing of walking with God. In this chapter, all these men died except for Enoch. And it points out specifically about Enoch that Enoch walked with God. That tells me there's something to learn here. Maybe you and I can learn something about how to walk with God. Now, unless Christ returns first, all of us are going to die. God's not going to take any of us like he did Enoch. But you know, we can still walk with God. Now, walking with God, that sounds very mysterious. It sounds so spiritual, like it's on such a higher spiritual plane, you know, I can never attain to. And I read this chapter, I don't know Enoch, I don't know anything about Enoch, but I just read about Enoch and I say, yeah, I can see how Enoch could walk with God because he's so much better than me. How can I walk with God? How can you walk with God? It sounds very mysterious. It sounds so spiritual. It seems like something that you know, the normal person just can't do. But we can. We can. We can walk with God the same way Enoch did. I want to give you six ways. I promise to be very simple and very brief. Number one, look at Hebrews chapter 11. How can we walk with God? Well, the first way is we walk with God by faith, just like Enoch did. Look here at Hebrews 11. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, Enoch didn't please God. The writer says, by faith Enoch pleased God. Enoch only pleased God by faith in Christ that God had to give him. He pleased God with what God gave him, faith in Christ. There's no other way to please God other than by faith in Christ. And here's how I know that I'm walking, that I'm conducting myself. So I walk through this life, so I go through this life by faith in Christ. I quit my works of the law. I quit trying to do works of the law to make God happy with me. You know why I quit them? Because I trust Christ. I trust Him. There's no need for me to do anything to add to it. I trust Christ. That's walking by faith. If we would walk with God, we've got to live by faith. Now, that doesn't mean that you live by faith and all you think about, you know, is spiritual things and you got your head up in the clouds and you ignore your earthly responsibilities. That's contrary to Scripture. What I mean by walking by faith is this. Live your daily life. Take care of the responsibilities that you have to do in your daily life and do it looking to and depending on Christ. We live by faith, by working, by doing the things that we're supposed to do, by being kind, by being generous, by all these things, you know, but not trusting in those things to save us. Live an honest, holy life. Absolutely do that. But don't ever depend on that to save you. Don't ever depend on that to think that you're going to somehow be a better Christian in heaven, have a better place in heaven. We live by faith, doing everything we're supposed to do in this life, doing everything God's given us to do in this life, all the while trusting Christ to be everything that we need, no matter where we're at, no matter what we're doing, no matter where we're going. Trusting Christ to be everything we need. That's walking by faith. And that's walking with God. All right, number two, look at Jude, the book of Jude. Here's the second thing. We walk with God by looking for Christ's return. That is exactly what Enoch did. Jude, verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Sounds like old Enoch's talking about 2022, doesn't it? He's talking about his day, seventh from Adam. Man hadn't changed a bit, has he? Enoch walked through his life looking for the second coming of Christ before Christ ever came the first time. He was looking for Christ to return and to take him home. And somebody that knows that tells me this about Enoch. Enoch is looking for Christ's second coming before he even came the first time. Then he had to know this. This world is not all that there is. I'm looking for someplace better. I'm expecting to go someplace better. Now, while he was here, Enoch took care of his responsibilities. He begat sons and daughters. I'm just confident of this. He took care of his family. He took care. He loved them. He took care of them. He was a family man. He was a man out in the community, you know, working and whatever relationships he had with people in the community. People knew Enoch. You know how I know that? When the Lord took him, people went looking for him. They missed him. He's part of my life. This is my husband. This is my father. This is my friend. This is my coworker. This is my neighbor. Where is he? I'm going to go look. They missed him. They went looking for him. See, Enoch lived, taking care of all his responsibilities, all with one eye on Christ returning. All just that's living by faith. Knowing that this life is not all there is. I'm expecting this is coming. The best example I can think of is this. Y'all know Janet's mother lives about 6.5-7 hours away. And she goes to see her a couple times a year. And oftentimes I'll stay home. I work and so forth. And she'll be gone 4 or 5 days. Now you can imagine after 4 or 5 days the state of that house. What the kitchen looks like. What the living room looks like. What, you know, stuff looks like. You can just imagine. Let your mind run. You're probably accurate. Well, the day Jan's supposed to come home, you know what I'm doing? I'm washing the dishes, and I'm loading the dishwasher, and I'm cleaning stuff. I'm doing all the stuff I should have been doing all along, doing what I'm supposed to be doing, with one eye on that driveway when she's coming home. See that? Take care of your responsibilities with one eye. He's coming back for me, and I can't wait till he gets here. I just can't wait. That's what Enoch did, and that's the way we walk with God. What is it that the Lord's put to your hand to do today? When you wake up tomorrow, you think of this. What is it that the Lord's put to my hand to do today? You have some responsibility to take care of tomorrow. Do it with all you got. With one eye looking for Him. He's coming. He's coming. Now, take care of the things that God's given you in this life. Participate, you know, in this life. But don't get so caught up trying to get things of this life. Be ready to let him go and go be with him when he comes to get you. That's walking by faith, depending on God for everything we need, and that's how we walk with God. All right, thirdly, look at Romans chapter 8. We walk with God by walking after the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, what is it to walk after the flesh? Well, it's to mind the things of the flesh. It's to seek salvation by the will of the flesh, the arm of the flesh, the strength of the flesh, the logic, the wisdom of the flesh. Well, what is it to walk after the Spirit? I mean, again, it's like walking with God, walking with the Holy Spirit, that seems too holy, too righteous, you know, too spiritual for somebody like me. What is it to walk after the Spirit? Well, it's to live following the Spirit, following the Holy Spirit. Now, if we walk following the Holy Spirit, where are we going to go? If you're following the Spirit, where are you going to go? You're going to go to Christ, aren't you? Because the Spirit always leads to Christ. He always points to Christ. He never points to himself. He always points to Christ. So someone who walks after the Spirit, they're going to Christ. They're not seeking to establish their own righteousness by their own deeds of the law. They're seeking Christ as their righteousness. They're like the Apostle Paul. I don't want anything to do with my righteousness, which is of the law. I want to be found in Christ. That's what I'm seeking, to be found in Christ. When God sees me, all I want him to see is Christ. That's walking with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit always leads us to Christ, to trust in him, to be found in him. We walk with God simply by doing this, seeking Christ, seeking him, seeking to know him, seeking to be found in him, seeking to learn more of him, and walk always depending on Christ to do all the saving for us without me contributing anything to it. All right, fourthly, look in Ephesians chapter 2. We walk with God by seeking ways to serve God's people. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, I've told you this many, many times, that this is a good work. A good work is something that you do purely to help the body of Christ, to help the people of Christ. You're not doing it for any recognition, any glory, any credit. It's just a work that's done by faith, just trying to help somebody, trying to serve the people of God. And serving God's people out of love. This, when you see an opportunity to help, help. When you see a need that needs to be filled, fill it. When you see, do it. It could be as simple, Wayne, as just getting the water running in this place again. I mean, it seems like no big deal. Don't you like to wash your hands? It seems like no big deal. It's been a big help. That's a good work. It's just seeking to do what you can do to help God's people. Do you know that's walking with God? That's walking with God. All right, fifthly, look at Colossians chapter 2. We walk with God by continuing to depend on Christ for everything. Continuing. Colossians 2, verse 6. As we have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. So walk ye in Him. What Paul's saying here, how is it that you first came to Christ? Walk in Him the same way. Continue walking in Him the same way. Now, I want you to think of yourself, you that trust the Lord. How did you first come to Christ? Now, I've talked to so many people over the years when they first come to Christ. They're so excited. They're so relieved. Now I see. They confess Christ in baptism. And say, I wish I'd done this a long time ago. They're so excited. They're so relieved. All the pressure's off. Just rest in Christ. They're just learning of Him and hearing of Him. It's so exciting, and they just can't wait for the next service to hear more, to learn more of Christ. Did you start that way? This is what Paul's saying. Continue that way. Continue that exact same way. You first came to Christ just in such joy. It was such a joy to trust Him to be everything God required of you. Wasn't it just a thrill, a joy? It was such a joy to you because you know you couldn't do anything. But He is everything. That gave you such sweet rest, didn't it? Such relief. Well, now you've been coming to service a good while. Now you've learned some things. By God's grace, you've learned some things, haven't you? Hope so. Well, don't start thinking now. I've learned so much, and I've grown so much. Now I can be a little self-sufficient. Now I can do something to show my salvation. Now I can do something so people will see. Now I can do something to kind of add to this thing, make myself, one of these giants in the faith like old Enoch. No. Drop that. Continue the way you started, knowing you're nothing. Christ is everything. And have that be your joy. Have that be your joy. I'd say it's pretty good evidence if we start thinking, oh, I've learned so much and I've grown so much. Now I can be a little self-sufficient. Now I can do this. And that's pretty good evidence. We need to get thirsty and come hear the gospel and learn more Christ, don't you reckon? Continue the way you started. And then here's the last thing. Look at 1 John chapter 7. We walk with God by a true sight of our sin. A true sight of ourselves, a true sight of who God is. 1 John 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now if we walk in the light, we walk in this spiritual light, the light of Christ. You know what that light lets us see? That lets us see ourselves as we really are. That lets us see our sin as it really is. That lets us see all those good things that we do that we thought, ooh, that makes God happy with me. That makes me, a better Christian. That makes me more savable, whatever. Walking in the light lets me see that's my worst sin. That's my worst sin. And this light also lets me see my sin, lets me see something else. Lets me see Christ. It lets me see He's my only hope. Since the light lets me see my sin, see the perfection of Christ, it's obvious to me, Christ is my only hope. It lets us see that the blood of Christ's sacrifice is my only hope. His blood cleanses from all sin. His blood cleanses me from all sin if He died for me. That's what the light lets me see. It lets me see it's my only hope. And that's the only way to have fellowship with God. That's the only way to walk with Him is being in full agreement with what God says about me and what God says about Him. And you know how I become in full agreement with that? When God turns a light on and I see it. And I walk with God. Now, when I started the message, maybe somebody thought, like what I thought when I thought about old Enoch, you know, walking with God, that's pretty highfalutin stuff. I don't think that's for just a common, ordinary person like me. But after hearing those things, doesn't that make it obvious? Is that helpful that I can see from that? There's a way in my life God enabled me to walk with God. I sure would like to, wouldn't you? All right, let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, we're so thankful for Your Word. We're so thankful for the clear instruction of Your Word. And Father, I pray You'd apply Your Word to our hearts, that You would enable us by faith to walk with Thee, to walk, going through our lives, taking care of all of our responsibilities, always looking to and depending upon and resting in Christ our Savior. That in everything that we do, we seek no credit, but know it all goes to Him. Father, I pray You bless Your Word, bless Your people, bless us as we go back home and out back to work tomorrow, and bring us back again Sunday to hear another word from Thee, we pray. It's in the precious name of Christ our Savior. For His name, His glory, we pray. Amen. All right, Sean.
Okay, if you would, turn to song number 75 and stand as we sing, Abide With Me.
Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, O abide with me. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. O Thou who changest not, abide with me. I need Thy presence every passing hour. What but Thy grace can foil the tempter's power? Who like Thyself my guide and stay can be? Through cloud and sunshine, O abide with me. Hold Thou Thy word before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's veil. strange shadows flee. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me.